Welcome to High Energy Health, where together we explore the leading edge of wellness and happiness. I'm your host, Dawson Church. By choosing this time together, you're declaring your commitment to a positive mindset, elevated emotions, and a great life. Thanks for joining me for today's episode.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use this superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now. Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today. Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at mystresssolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at MyStressSolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at MyStressSolution.com. There's a completely natural method to help boost your immune system, maybe even up to 113% in a week. If you're interested in saving money without supplements and other expensive remedies, then explore the 7-Day Immunity Booster Program. It includes 7 powerful audio programs. 2 clinical trials even show that these methods can help increase your body's immunity naturally. So visit StressDump.com and find out how you can boost your immune system. That's StressDump.com, StressDump.com. Imagine your love life, your health, your money, your career, your spiritual path. If you had the ability to turn your dreams into reality, the people who have discovered how to do this are master manifestors. Now you can learn their secrets at MasterManifestor.com. They'll give you a 21-day crash course in intuition, synchronicity, and manifestation. In just 7 minutes each day, the experts at MasterManifestor.com will train your brain to be like theirs. MasterManifestor.com. Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
Hello and welcome. Filling your mind with positive ideas, positive media, positive concepts you can use to apply in your life. Each week, we look for practices, we look for ideas, we look for people, we look for inspiration that you can really apply and shift your own levels of well-being, health, and happiness. We know all of these work together in a matrix. And what you look for is those practices that work best for you. And they aren't the same for everybody. Just for example, in terms of movement and being in your body, my wife is a yoga person. I'm a Qigong person. One size doesn't fit all. She doesn't really take the Qigong. I don't really take the yoga, but you know, that's our moving meditation. For some people, it'll be a deep and long period of meditation. If you are a single mom with 4 children, you will probably not be meditating for 2 hours every morning, but you can have time in nature. You can have social contact. There are all kinds of ways of triggering transformation. So experiment with those. Try out a lot of different flavors. On the show, there are hundreds of episodes, and they are going to bring you all kinds of ideas. And as you, like a menu, like a buffet, as you browse them, you find the ones that really work for you and that apply to your lifestyle. So I encourage you to practice, to actually implement a practice in your life. I actually recommend you write it into your calendar. So if, for example, you're deciding to meditate and just spending, say, a quarter of an hour every day in meditation, put that into your Outlook calendar, your Google calendar, write down what it is, and treat it with the same seriousness you would treat a visit to your doctor. Love yourself enough to treat yourself with the same level of respect you treat your doctor. Really, I mean, why not do that? Why not put yourself in that same level of esteem that you place a medical professional? So you're worth it. You're worth implementing these practices in your life. And then you'll see all kinds of shifts start to happen. I was talking to a meditation master a couple of weeks ago at Omega Institute. Omega's open again after the pandemic. And I was meeting with a meditation master there. And he made an interesting comment. And he said that new students he works with usually don't feel a lot happening in their lives at first. What they see, though, is they notice changes happening in not in their internal life, but in their external life. Their relationships might get a little bit easier. Their work might become more frictionless. One other cool thing I noticed, too, is that people often report things like eyesight and skin starting to clear up. So all kinds of external markers like that show you that you're entering enhanced well-being. So I really encourage you to practice all the tools and techniques we have on the show. There are lots and lots and lots and lots of them. And as you do that, you will find the ones that work well for you and your lifestyle. The only mistake you can make is doing nothing. So go ahead and make that commitment as you listen to our inspiring guest today, as you read the books and expose yourself to the ideas we have on the show. Have a plan, implement that plan, and love yourself enough. Practice what we recommend here. My guest today has been on the show before. His name is Steve Taylor. He's the author of the book Extraordinary Awakenings and several other best-selling books. He's a senior lecturer in psychology at Leeds Beckett University in the UK, and also the chair of the Transpersonal Psychology section of the British Psychological Society. Steve's articles and essays have been published in many journals, including Scientific American and Psychology Today. His website is StephenMTaylor.com. I'm going to actually spell it out for you so you get it right. So Stephen with a B, MTaylor.com. Stephen with a B, MTaylor.com. And his newest book is called Extraordinary Awakenings, When Trauma Leads to Transformation. Steve, it's such a pleasure to see you again. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome. Nice to see you again, Dawson. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, and I am so intrigued by the turn that your work has taken with this new exploration of actually seeing trauma not as an unmitigated disaster leading to PTSD and all kinds of other unfortunate sequels, but actually as a potential gateway to transformation. I'm so curious, Steve, how you came to this idea.
It came from my own experience originally. About 15 years ago, I was seriously ill, fortunately for the only time in my life so far. And I was in hospital for maybe 3 weeks, you know, quite seriously ill. And when I began to recover, when my body started to function well again, and I felt my strength and energy returning, I was filled with this incredible sense of elation. It was partly relief, but it was also a sense of appreciation. I was amazed at the miracle of my body, you know, this healing miracle that was taking place. I was amazed at all of these microscopic processes taking place in my body to return me to health. When I recovered, I felt as though I had a new appreciation of life. You know, I didn't take things for granted anymore. I didn't take my body or my health or even my life for granted anymore. Life seemed like a miracle, like a sort of precious miracle, which it is. But you know, it took that experience to teach me that. So yeah, after that, I began to look for other examples, and I found out that it was actually quite a common phenomenon.
Imagine living that way every single day, waking up and seeing life as a miracle, and the day before you was a miracle, and every moment is a miracle. So that's possible too. Yeah, the examples you have in the book, I mean, people in combat who are in the middle of war and other, I mean, suicide, depression, these things being triggers for spiritual awakening is an extraordinary idea.
It is. I mean, especially, you know, a situation like warfare, it is the complete opposite of spirituality. You know, warfare is horrific, it's brutal, it's murderous, you know, it's criminal, everything which is the polar opposite of spiritual awakening. But in some paradoxical way, you know, these experiences of intense suffering can give rise to spiritual awakening. It's almost as if the intense suffering, the intense stress breaks down a person's identity. And when their identity breaks down, a new self seems to emerge inside them. And, you know, obviously that doesn't happen in every case. You know, for many people, suffering is just a painful experience. It doesn't lead to transformation. But in a small minority of cases, it does lead to this incredible transformation.
And what's the difference between suffering just being suffering and suffering being a trigger for transformation?
That's a big question, because I pondered over that a lot. Because, prison is a good example. I found a lot of cases of prisoners who would undergo spiritual awakening. Prison is probably, you know, one of the most fertile environments for spiritual awakening, believe it or not. But obviously, not many prisoners undergo the experience, even though it's fairly, you know, it's not unusual. So what's the difference? You know, I found that one difference was that it depended on the person's attitude towards their predicament. If they were full of resistance to their predicament, if they were unwilling to accept the situation they were in, that would just create, you know, bitterness and resentment. And there's no real hope of any transformation in that context. So the first thing you need to do is to, first of all, acknowledge your predicament, face up to the reality of it. So if you're in prison, you have to face up to the reality that you're going to be incarcerated for a long time. You know, it's not going to be a pleasant experience, but you have to face up to the reality of it. And after that, you need to enter into a mode of acceptance. You have to, you know, let go of resistance and just embrace the situation. And that was when transformation was likely to occur. I mean, I've got another good example where I found a lot of transformational potential was illness, like serious illness, such as being diagnosed with cancer. Obviously, for most people, understandably, that's a, you know, terrible experience. You know, it can really lead to intense anxiety and fear and bitterness and so on, entirely naturally. But some people also react by diverting themselves from the reality. They don't want to contemplate the reality of the situation, and they don't want to accept it because they feel like they've got to fight, you know, with all their might against the predicament. But that attitude doesn't lead to transformation normally. Normally, in order for transformation to occur, you have to acknowledge the full reality of the fact that you may die and everything that will entail. And then you have to stop resisting it, just let go, surrender. And that was when transformation was likely to occur.
Yeah, the great client-centered therapist, Carl Rogers, in the 1960s and 70s, he wrote about how accepting exactly what is the beginning of the transformational journey. And he called it the paradox of change. He said, the paradox of change is that to actually transform, I first have to accept myself just the way I am now. So,
Yeah, there's a sort of paradox there because, acceptance can mean, you know, accepting things that should be changed. But in order to initiate that process of change, you know, as he said, you need to enter into a mode of acceptance. You have to just face up to the reality, accept the reality, and then you'll be able to distinguish, you know, what is right and what needs to remain, and also what needs to be changed. You know, but the acceptance is the first stage of that.
You have this blanket term which you use in the book, and you abbreviate it to TTT, Transformation Through Turmoil. Go ahead and share with us what that concept means and is, and how you apply it in the book.
There's a concept in psychology that you may have heard of called post-traumatic growth, which expresses the fact that trauma, any kind of trauma, can lead to long-term personal development. Sometimes it takes years to arise, and sometimes it necessitates a sort of decrease in post-traumatic stress in order to manifest itself. But I think research shows that almost 50% of people who go through trauma experience some long-term after effects, even if they're relatively mild. So that would mean, for example, feeling more appreciative of your life, you know, not taking things for granted as much. It may mean having deeper relationships. A lot of people find that after trauma. It may mean having a new sense of meaning or becoming interested in philosophical or spiritual or religious issues, which you never really cared about before. So what I call TTT, Transformation Through Turmoil, is a very dramatic kind of post-traumatic growth. So post-traumatic growth is normally very gradual over years, but transformation through turmoil often takes place in one sudden moment of transformation. And it's a kind of identity shift. It's almost as if one person dies in the same body and another person takes over in the same body. It's as radical as that. That's why one of the most puzzling phenomena I came across in the book when I was doing the research is a phenomenon I call addiction release. So transformation through turmoil sometimes occurs after long periods of addiction, you know, after many years of drug or alcohol addiction. And when a person's identity just breaks down because of the process of addiction, the addictive process. But one strange phenomenon I found was that people who had been addicts for a long time, very severe addicts, would just spontaneously let go of their addictions without any effort, for no apparent reason. It would just leave them. They, as literally as waking up in the morning and finding out that they were no longer addicts. The craving to take drugs had just disappeared. I think the only way of explaining that is that they literally become different people. So the person who had the addiction dies, and therefore the addiction dies, and a new person takes over, which has no addiction. So it is as radical as that. You know, it sometimes leads to a breakdown in relationships because it is as if there's a new person in the relationship. You know, people feel that they're married to somebody else. It's such a radical change.
The old familiar person's gone. Go ahead and share with us some of the stories of some of those dramatic changes, because the stories of the book are compelling and often they're quite long to tell a whole full case history over the course of two or three pages. So go ahead and share with us an example of TT turmoil.
There was one woman I spoke to, just staying on the example of addiction. There was a woman from Scotland that I interviewed called Eve, and she was an alcoholic for 29 years. Over the course of those 29 years, you know, slowly, especially towards the end, everything began to break down. You know, she began to lose everything in her life. You know, she couldn't function anymore. She lost her friends, family, you know, washed their hands on her. She lost her job. She didn't have any money. So she was basically, by the end of the process, she was homeless and destitute. You know, she was shoplifting to try to survive and try to get her the alcohol that she needed. And she tried to stop drinking, but just couldn't do it. So she just gave up. She gave up trying to stop drinking and just decided that she was probably going to die. She couldn't stop drinking because every time she stopped, she got terrible withdrawal symptoms. You know, she started to shake and have hallucinations. And so she was really just drinking to control her withdrawal symptoms. Well, her situation seemed so hopeless that she decided to commit suicide, to kill herself. But fortunately, she didn't. She jumped in front of a coach that was traveling at 40 miles an hour. But luckily, the coach swerved and she survived. Then the police came and she thought she was going to be arrested. But the policeman was very sympathetic and said to her, you know, how did you get into this terrible situation? Where can I take you? Can I take you somewhere? So the policeman took her to her parents' house and she hadn't seen them for a long time. But her mother assumed that because she was an alcoholic, she had to give her a drink. So she gave her a glass of wine. And Eve said it was a very strange phenomenon because she picked up the glass and then put it down again. She picked it up and just kept putting it down again. And she had no idea why, but a part of her just didn't want to drink anymore. And then she was given some sedatives by the doctor. When she regained consciousness, she felt like she was a different person. The urge to drink had just gone. And then she looked in a mirror and didn't recognize herself. She really thought, who is that person? I don't know that person in the mirror. Who is it? And after that, she was literally a different person. The urge to drink had just gone, and she was filled with this new sense of well-being and a feeling of connection, a feeling of appreciation. And she joined, she went to some AA meetings, and somebody said to her, you sound like you've had a spiritual awakening. She didn't know what that meant, but as she found out about it, she realized it was true. She'd undergone a spiritual awakening. And she felt guilty at the AA meetings because everyone else was struggling to stay sober. They were taking it one day at a time, which is the normal process. But she didn't have any struggle. You know, it had just literally disappeared. So she, in a way, she felt a bit guilty. But it's 10 years later now, and she's remained in that state of well-being with that feeling of connection and appreciation. And she's never, you know, never had the urge to drink again since then. So she realizes that she's been through a spiritual awakening. And also all of the trauma that she went through a lot of incredibly traumatic experiences over the course of those 29 years, a lot of violence and abuse. But all of the trauma has just disappeared as well. So yeah, she's an example of addiction release and also a good example of transformation through turmoil.
Wow. There's
similar cases amongst prisoners as well. I spoke to one American gentleman who's been in prison for 40 years now. He was only 15 when he was convicted, and he's been in prison since the age of 16. And he had an incredibly difficult time in the first years in prison. Again, a lot of violence and, he struggled to accept his situation. But about 8 years into his prison sentence, he started to meditate. He started to go inside. He realized that in such a terrible environment as a prison, in such a turbulent environment, the only way to find any peace is to go inside, because there's no peace outside. So you've got no option but to go inside. So he started to meditate. He didn't really know what meditation was, but he just started to go inside and close his eyes and just concentrate on his breathing. And after a few months of that, a few weeks of that, he underwent a sudden shift inside. It was as if something broke down inside him. And he suddenly felt a sense of empathy that he'd never had before. He felt he was suddenly able to sense other people's feelings and sense other people's suffering. And he began to accept his predicament in prison. That led to, you know, a totally new attitude to his life and a totally new way of being.
That's remarkable. And you also say later on in the book that many people who've had these experiences don't think of these as spiritual awakenings, and they don't even know what a spiritual awakening is. And that's a sharp contrast to the people who've been pursuing a spiritual awakening perhaps for a very long time. And yet that's plenty of what's going on. Others can see that people who know what spiritual awakenings are can recognize them, people who've gone through this transformation, even though they can't themselves. I'm going to take a break right now. My name is Dawson Church. You're listening to High Energy Health. Steve's newest book is called Extraordinary Awakenings. Find out more about him at his website, which is stephen.mtaylor.com. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after a break.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now. Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today. Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at mystresssolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at mystresssolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at mystresssolution.com. There's a completely natural method to help boost your immune system, maybe even up to 113% in a week. If you're interested in saving money without supplements and other expensive remedies, then explore the 7-Day Immunity Booster Program. It includes 7 powerful audio programs. 2 clinical trials even show that these methods can help increase your body's immunity naturally. So visit StressDump.com and find out how you can boost your immune system. That's StressDump.com. StressDump.com. Imagine your love life, your health, your money, your career, your spiritual path. If you had the ability to turn your dreams into reality, the people who have discovered how to do this are master manifestors. Now you can learn their secrets at mastermanifestor.com. They'll give you a 21-day crash course in intuition, synchronicity, and manifestation. In just 7 minutes each day, the experts at MasterManifester.com will train your brain to be like theirs. MasterManifester.com. Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
Hello and welcome back. My name is Dawson Church. You're listening to High Energy Health. For more on Stephen's work, go to his website, StephenMTaylor.com. That's Stephen with a V, MTaylor.com. And his newest book is called Extraordinary Awakenings. Also, do check out previous episode of the show where it's talking about non-duality, a whole different theme. And we'll do a little bit of weaving of those two themes as well during the course of the next little while. So, Steve, these remarkable people you found and remarkable stories, and they come from all kinds of different adverse experiences, from suicide attempts to deep depression to addictions to combat to war. So it seems like any kind of turmoil, any kind of disruption of the psyche has the potential to produce this kind of a shift.
That's true. I sometimes use the term awakening potential. So every situation in life really has some degree of awakening potential, but some obviously have more than others. For example, I don't think shopping or watching television have a great deal.
You mean that binge-watching Game of Thrones won't do it for me?
I could be wrong. If any listeners have had those type of experiences, let me know. While watching TV or shopping. But yeah, there are certain common human experiences which have a lot of awakening potential. I mean, obviously, military combat and imprisonment, they're not really common experiences. They have a lot of awakening potential, but they're not common human experiences. But amongst the most common human experiences, I would say that bereavement has a great deal of awakening potential. I as a psychologist, I did a research project about 3 years ago, specifically on the transformational potential of bereavement. And I found a lot of, you know, amazing stories of how even the most tragic kinds of bereavements, such as murder or, you know, or car crashes or totally, you know, terribly tragic and horrible events, you know, they could give rise to transformation. So, for example, I interviewed a woman whose husband had died in a car crash, and she was a young mother with a baby. So it was incredibly tragic. And initially she was so broken down that she contemplated suicide. She didn't because of her baby, but you know, she was so depressed and it seemed so senseless and tragic. But she, you know, gradually developed a sense of meaning. You know, she developed a new perspective on life. You know, she began to sense her husband's presence in certain moments. And she began to feel that, you know, that death was not necessarily the end. And that intuition grew stronger and stronger. So even though she was separated from her husband, she had a sense that he was possibly still around in some form. And everything, you know, I think bereavement upends everything. Everything is thrown into complete disarray. It's like an earthquake. But when, you know, when the ground settles again, it's as if the world is a different place and you have to reconstruct your life from a deeper and stronger place. So the woman I was talking about, she began to be interested in spirituality. She began to meditate and she's now a meditation teacher. But none of that would have happened if it hadn't been for that tragic bereavement. It's almost as if, you know, deep pain like that opens us up. It makes us deeper. You know, the deeper we are, the more space there is for joy, you know, and the more connected we become to our deepest essence.
Yes. And of course, we've just had this major disruption to the external self we have relied on as what we think of as me. And that part has just been shattered in some way or another. And so that's when that shattering can be absolutely debilitating and traumatic, or it can help us look for a higher version of that self.
Exactly. I think that is the process which takes place in these moments. I think there's a process in which our psychological attachments break down. So, you know, normally when things are going well in our lives, we have attachment to ambitions for the future. We have a sense of achievement that we may be attached to that gives us a certain status, a certain feeling of success. We have certain beliefs about the world. We may be attached to possessions and all of these things. So all of these attachments give us a sense of identity. You know, they are the building blocks of the ego. But when people go through a long period of loss or addiction or depression, or when they're put in prison, or when they suffer a bereavement, then these attachments break down. And that's partly why it's such a painful experience, because their identity crumbles away. But when your identity crumbles away, or when your ego breaks down, there's suddenly an open space inside you. All of these attachments which cluttered up your inner self are suddenly, you know, well, you're suddenly empty inside. So it seems as if in some people there is a latent higher self, which is sort of just waiting for the opportunity to arise like a phoenix from the ashes of the ego. And in some people that actually happens, a new self just seems to spontaneously arise into this space, into this empty space that was left from the dissolution of the ego.
Yeah, and that is actually an explicit stage. For example, in Sufism, you have the stage of the annihilation of the ego. They say that's the absolute necessary beginning to the spiritual journey, is to annihilate the ego. It's pretty extreme. And for many Westerners, it's a terrifying idea. Like, I have to obliterate my ego. And the Sufis are like, absolutely, it's how you get anywhere. And so that's part of the spiritual journey in Sufism and other religions as well. That goes with that. And yet here, it's not happening as a result of a spiritual journey or a conscious spiritual journey, happening as a result of tragedy.
Yeah, it's the same basic process, but it's spontaneous. I mean, one thing I do in the book is I make a parallel between the monastic way of life and imprisonment. You know, imprisonment, as I said before, is quite a fertile environment for spiritual awakening. And monks in their monasteries undergo a similar process. They also isolate themselves from the world. They remove themselves from society and let go of their attachments, let go of their identity. But obviously, it's completely different if you do it consciously. You know, in prison, obviously, people are there involuntarily. And it's a very turbulent environment. But it's the same basic principles. If you're in prison, you have to let go of your identity. Everything which gave you identity is on the other side of the walls, the prison walls. You know, your roles in society, your status, your possessions, your relationships, everything is on the other side. And that's part of the reason why prison is a terrible experience, because you have to let go of your identity. But for some people, that process of letting go will allow a new self to arise inside them. Partly depends on whether they're willing to go inside. Some people are just not willing to go inside themselves or to let go. So you have to be willing to, you have to stop clinging to your old identity and stop trying to reinforce it. And you have to go inside and kind of explore your own being. You know, and that's quite foreign to some people.
Yes, and we certainly are trained to do that. And it's part of our educational process usually to go seek anything there. So, no. Of course, when people are on the spiritual path, they do then turn their attention in that direction. And yet this, it sounds like with transformation through turmoil, these people may have had no inkling of that, even that possibility before their tragedy.
No, I mean, most people I spoke to had no knowledge of spirituality before their experiences. And that's part of the reason why they sometimes struggled to make sense of what had happened. They were sometimes quite confused. Now, even though they felt this new sense of well-being and a feeling of connection, a feeling of appreciation, they didn't really know what had happened. You know, there's one guy I interviewed who he underwent a transformation while he was in prison in Africa in very difficult circumstances. He was basically in solitary confinement for, you know, most of the day, for 6 months. But again, he just went inside and started to spontaneously meditate, a bit like the previous prisoner I spoke about. And he underwent a transformation, but he thought, you know, he wasn't sure what happened. He felt confused, and he talked to other people, and they said, oh, you sound like you've gone crazy. You know, they said, have you been taking psychedelic drugs? They really thought he'd gone crazy. So he thought, well, maybe I have gone crazy. So he actually got hold of a book of psychiatric conditions, psychiatric disorders, and started to look through the book trying to find out what condition he had. But luckily, he couldn't find it. So, oh, maybe I've not gone crazy. And then he found a book about spirituality. But, this is me. This is what's happened to me. So, well, yeah, I mean, that's the, that can cause a few problems, the fact that they don't, you know, they haven't got a background in spirituality and they don't really understand what's happened to them.
In fact, one of our guests, Jeffrey McDonald, he actually wound up literally in a psych ward, and he was hospitalized by friends and family who thought he was crazy. We'll share more stories, share more insights in a moment. We're going to a break right now. Please stay tuned. You're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. And for more on Steve's work, go to stephenmtaylor.com. We'll be right back after a break.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now. Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today. Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at mystresssolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at mystresssolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at mystresssolution.com. There's a completely natural method to help boost your immune system, maybe even up to 113% in a week. If you're interested in saving money without supplements and other expensive remedies, then explore the 7-Day Immunity Booster Program. It includes 7 powerful audio programs. 2 clinical trials even show that these methods can help increase your body's immunity naturally. So visit StressDump.com and find out how you can boost your immune system. That's StressDump.com. StressDump.com. Imagine your love life, your health, your money, your career, your spiritual path. If you had the ability to turn your dreams into reality, the people who have discovered how to do this are master manifestors. Now you can learn their secrets at mastermanifestor.com. They'll give you a 21-day crash course in intuition, synchronicity, and manifestation. In just 7 minutes each day, the experts at mastermanifestor.com will train your brain to be like theirs. mastermanifestor.com. Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church, and the fact that you're here means something, and it means that you are committed to your own transformational and healing journey. And I urge you to really fill your mind with transformational ideas, with inspiring media. Just listen to music and podcasts and read books and just put your environment, make your environment a place that you, just nurtures you, nurtures all the best in your mind, in your heart, in your body, and is full of wisdom. It's so available to you. You need a lot of it right now to counteract all the negative media out there. So make sure you take responsibility for yourself, love yourself enough to fill your life with positive media, positive messages like High Energy Health. Thanks for joining me here, and make sure you join me on a regular basis. It can make all the difference to your well-being. My guest today is Steve Taylor. His new book is called Extraordinary Awakenings. And for more, go to his website at StephenMTaylor.com. Steve, I'd like to, in this segment, talk about the ways in which we can operationalize this in our lives. So we recognize that crisis doesn't have to be trauma. We have realized that it can be transformative to have this sort of extreme turmoil in our lives. How do we nudge ourselves in that direction and make ourselves resilient? So when we say lose that job, lose a person who's important in our lives, suffer through an economic disaster or the pandemic and all the things that can upset us and cause turmoil in our lives, that instead we can use those as catalysts for transformation?
There are two ways in which we can learn from the shifters, as I call the people in my book. So one way is, you know, we can learn how to respond in the right way when trauma and turmoil arise in our lives, you know, and they're bound to arise. They always arise from time to time in our lives. As the Buddha said, life entails suffering. So it's certainly, you know, at frequent points in our lives. So we should learn to respond in the right way so that we can access the transformational power of suffering and trauma. And based on, you know, my analysis of how the shifters react to their transformation, their predicaments, I suggest we can emulate, you know, their experiences. So the first stage is, I mean, I've talked about this already briefly, and it's the importance of acknowledgement. So it means being willing to face up to your predicament, you know, whether it's bereavement or a diagnosis of an illness, whether it's addiction. You have to really sort of squarely and intensely face the reality and also contemplate the reality, contemplate what it really means. And that's difficult. I think a lot of people, when turmoil arises in their lives, they practice what I call the avoidance impulse. It's an entirely natural impulse to avoid the reality of your predicament, which is very painful. I mean, everybody wants to avoid pain, so we want to avoid the reality of the predicament. But we have to, you know, we have to face up to it. That's the first stage. The second stage is going into ourselves. I talked about this in relation to prisoners, that you have to be willing or able to enter into your own inner space, which is surprisingly difficult to do. A lot of people, I think you mentioned this before, that we're just not conditioned to do that. We're conditioned to live our lives externally and not really go inside ourselves. But you have to be able to go inside yourself. And partly so that you can face the turmoil that the situation has triggered inside you. So you have to sort of be willing to engage with the turmoil that you feel, face up to it and sort of observe it. And the process of observation is very important, because once you observe something, there is a space between you and the experience. You know, you're no longer completely immersed in it. You're observing it, and that space can grow. And as the space grows, the turmoil becomes less intense as you become more mindful of it. And the final stage is, again, I've mentioned this briefly already, it's acceptance. It's letting go of your resistance and fully opening yourself, embracing the predicament. And that's, again, it's very difficult to do, because, again, we're conditioned to sort of fight. You know, when negative predicaments occur in our lives, we're conditioned to sort of see them as an enemy and sort of fight, struggle against them, you know. And that, again, that's entirely natural. But, you know, the condition of transformation is not to struggle and fight, but to open yourself to the reality of the situation, to become one with it, you know, to fully embrace it, so that there's no duality between you and your predicament, no conflict between you and your predicament. So that phase of opening yourself and accepting the predicament, that is really important. And that unlocks the transformational potential of trauma and turmoil. A lot of the people I interviewed could identify a particular moment when they underwent transformation. And it was often the moment of acceptance, you know, the moment when they surrendered or let go or opened themselves. So that, you know, that's one method of, you know, dealing with trauma and turmoil when they arise. And in a general sense, I think we can learn certain things from these shifters' transformations and apply them to our general spiritual development. For example, you know, not being attached to too many external things like possessions or ambitions, or not being too dependent on other people or status or success and these things, and letting go of these attachments. That's really important. Also, you know, contemplating mortality, because a lot of transformations in my book occurred when people were confronted with the enormity of death through a diagnosis of cancer, through an accident, through bereavement. So sometimes, isn't it, just sort of contemplating mortality and making yourself aware of the fragility and the preciousness and the temporary nature of life in this form, that's really important. So yeah, there are certainly, you know, certain spiritual principles that we can apply in our own lives.
And so, as you're saying, suffering is inevitable. Things happen. Even if you have a charmed life in every way, built born with a silver spoon in your mouth, everything goes your way in every possible dimension, you will age and you will eventually experience death of the physical body. So that is inevitable. And it's interesting to see people navigating that stage of life, even if they haven't had a lot of challenges in other parts of their lives. And so bearing those four phases in mind is really useful. And then that moment of acceptance, you say, is usually the catalytic moment that catapults them into. So the first three steps sound like more of a preparation, which we can do consciously. And then when there's that genuine acceptance, I mean, just an affirmation of acceptance and not really accepting. This is absolutely fundamental acceptance of your being, it sounds like, of this reality. That's what catalyzes that ultimate change.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, resistance is often very subtle. You know, often you don't realize that you're resisting your predicament. But it always creates a barrier. It creates duality and conflict between you and the reality of your situation. So that barrier needs to come down, and it can only come down through a moment of surrender, a moment of letting go. Just to give you one quick example, there was a man I spoke to who he became paralyzed. He was running one morning and slipped and fell over a bridge onto a rocky riverbed and broke his spine. And it was incredibly depressing experience, you know, to lose everything that he loved to do and no longer being able to function in his body as he did before. So for about 18 months, he was in a state of real despair. He was totally hopeless and wanted to die. But one morning, he was being taken for a shower in his wheelchair, and he heard a voice inside his head say, "What are you doing? Why don't you just let go? Why are you holding on? Just let go." And at that moment, something gave way inside him. He just made a mental attempt to just let go of wherever it was. He didn't really know what he was letting go of, but he just let go, just released something. And that was the moment when his transformation occurred. Suddenly he was reconciled to his situation. Suddenly he was in a state of well-being, and it was a real spiritual awakening. Everything he looked at seemed to be imbued with a kind of spiritual radiance, and he felt imbued with a spiritual radiance. And he remained in that situation, in that state of being.
Wow, that is so remarkable. And I think of all the people who are facing tragedies like that and are stuck in loss and situations they can't change, like life without parole prisoners, like people who are quadriplegic or paraplegic or have other circumstances they can't change. And then that you can actually come to that point of acceptance and then use that as fuel for spiritual growth it's such a powerful revisioning, reframing of those circumstances. We're going to a break right now, but please stay tuned. You're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. For more on Steve's work, go to his website, stephenmtaylor.com. We'll be right back after a break.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use this superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now. Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today. Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at mystresssolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. experience a free introductory session at MyStressSolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at MyStressSolution.com. There's a completely natural method to help boost your immune system, maybe even up to 113% in a week. If you're interested in saving money without supplements and other expensive remedies, then explore the 7-Day Immunity Booster Program. It includes 7 powerful audio programs. 2 clinical trials even show that these methods can help increase your body's immunity, naturally. So visit StressDump.com and find out how you can boost your immune system. That's StressDump.com, StressDump.com. Imagine your love life, your health, your money, your career, your spiritual path. If you had the ability to turn your dreams into reality, the people who have discovered how to do this are master manifestors. Now you can learn their secrets at mastermanifestor.com. They'll give you a 21-day crash course in intuition, synchronicity, and manifestation. In just 7 minutes each day, the experts at mastermanifestor.com will train your brain to be like theirs. mastermanifestor.com. Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
Hello, and welcome back to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. I really encourage you to apply these ideas in your life. Think about those 4 steps, about how you'll apply Steve's 4 steps in your life, and be proactive about that. Journal about that. Reflect on that in advance. So when the next thing happens, as it inevitably will, you're prepared and you're going to be one of those people who thrives through turmoil. I'd like to focus in the last section here, Steve, on where this is taking us as a species, as a planet, as a collective. And you have a really inspiring vision of this at the end of the book. Where do you see this taking us in the aggregate?
I believe that there is an evolutionary aspect to these experiences. When people undergo this shift, you know, they are shifting into a higher state of consciousness, basically. And I think evolution is about the development of consciousness. Right from the beginnings of life on Earth, there's been this slow increase in consciousness as living beings have become more complex physically. They've also become more inwardly conscious. So spiritual awakening is really taking this process further. You know, it's taking this process of the intensification of consciousness to a further point. And it's almost as if when people undergo this shift, there is a new self waiting to be born. It's almost as if this self is kind of latent as a potential inside human beings. And maybe it's not ready in everybody, but it seems to be kind of waiting to emerge in the human beings collectively. So I think there isn't, you know, it is almost like the unfolding of the next level of human evolution. But it's also important to, you know, as many people know, I think we're all aware that at the moment we're going through a lot of crises as a species. You know, there are lots of potential dangers facing us, and some of which are already manifesting themselves. And, you know, there's a potential danger of ecological catastrophe. Certainly thousands of species are being made extinct already. The entire, you know, ecosystems of our planet are becoming imbalanced. So, you know, there are lots of other tracts of trauma too, but we're going through a lot of collective trauma. And I believe that this collective trauma is having an awakening effect. You know, it's bound to, because trauma does have an awakening effect, as I've shown in my book, and as the phenomenon of post-traumatic growth shows. So it's possible that at the moment we are going through a kind of a collective growth spurt, if you like, because of trauma. like teenagers. We're going to become adults, hopefully, soon. But it's the same process on a collective level that people go through individually. It's transformation through turmoil that we're undergoing collectively as a species.
And where would you project that's taking us?
Well, it's taking us to the kind of state of being which people experience, you know, individually after these moments of transformation. It's taking us to a new spiritual state, a kind of expanded state of consciousness, where we feel a sense of connection to each other, a sense of connection to nature. You know, we move beyond the need to accumulate possessions or to accumulate power or success. All of those drives come from the separate ego. But in these experiences, we move beyond separateness into a state of connection. So all of that pathological behavior, all of that kind of status seeking, possession seeking, wealth seeking, power seeking, so on, that fades away, along with a sense of group identity. A lot of human conflict is caused by group identity. The group identity is about, you know, the ego's need for strengthening, for identification. But in these moments, when we transcend ego separateness, we also transcend the need for group identity. You know, we develop a sense of empathy with other human beings, no matter how different they may seem to us. So a lot of the pathological behavior, which has blighted human history over the last few centuries, probably the last few thousand years, that fades away. You know, it will fade away once a sufficient number of people develop this new state of being.
And of course, that is going to have ripple effect on nature, on industry, on work, on spirituality, on human connection, on conflict, on education. It's going to affect every single part of human society.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, nature is a good example, because I think our ecological problems, you know, are rooted in our sense of separation from nature, which gives rise to a desire to dominate and exploit the natural world, and a lack of concern for the natural world, a lack of empathy for other species, a lack of empathy for the earth in general. So once we lose that sense of separateness and we feel a sense of connection to nature, and everybody, you know, who has this experience talks about how they feel connected to nature. Nature becomes much more real to them. So once enough people develop that new sensibility, you know, we will have an attitude of concern, an attitude of empathy towards other species and to the environment in general. We'll take much more care. We'll be much more responsible. And we'll also have a much reduced need for material possessions and for consumer goods. You know, those have a terrible environmental impact too. But again, a lot of that is rooted in the ego's need for, you know, the ego's need to distract itself, to strengthen itself. So, you know, when people shift into this new state of being, life becomes much more simple and much more contented, and also much slower, because, you know, you don't need to run around doing things all the time. You're content to be.
And just in the last couple of minutes, what are some of the signs you see in society that this is, we're going in this direction?
I think there have been signs developing over the past, you know, quite a long period, past 250 years, I would say. I write about this in my book, The Fall, where I suggest that we're moving into what I call the Transfall era. So I think over the last 250 years, even though we may not be consciously aware of it right now because it's quite a slow process, but there's been an increasing sense of empathy and compassion towards other living beings, towards each other. You can see it in social movements like increasing democracy over the past 200 years, increasing equality, less domination, and so forth. And, you know, these are signs that we are moving beyond separateness. And I think these signs have become especially strong over the past few decades. You know, there is a kind of downshifting movement now where people are turning away from materialism. The ecological movement, the environmental movement, you know, that suggests an increasing sense of connection to nature. And, you know, there are lots of positive signs at the same time as lots of negative signs. So, you know, as the kind of momentum for this new level of consciousness builds up, the positive signs will increase. And hopefully, you know, they'll increase in time for us to transcend our current difficulties.
Yes, we want the process to be quick enough to make a difference and have an impact while there's still time. So, Steve, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for your work. I'm so grateful for you sharing your ideas and just giving us these wonderful, inspirational concepts that are both so relevant to us personally and can make a big difference to the collective awareness as people learn them and practice them individually to our whole picture as a society and as a planet. Thank you so much for your work, your ideas, and your practice.
Same to you, Dawson. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show. It's been great.
It's been a pleasure. And again, for more on Stephen's work, go to his website, StephenM. taylor.com. If you've been listening to High Energy Health, my name is Dawson Church. Each week on the show, I bring you more leading edge ideas and practices. I'll see you next week. Till then, be healthy, be happy, be grateful.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now. Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today. Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at mystresssolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at mystresssolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at mystresssolution.com. There's a completely natural method to help boost your immune system, maybe even up to 113% in a week. If you're interested in saving money without supplements and other expensive remedies, then explore the 7-Day Immunity Booster Program. It includes 7 powerful audio programs. 2 clinical trials even show that these methods can help increase your body's immunity naturally. So visit StressDump.com and find out how you can boost your immune system. That's StressDump.com. StressDump.com. Imagine your love life, your health, your money, your career, your spiritual path. If you had the ability to turn your dreams into reality, the people who have discovered how to do this are master manifestors. Now you can learn their secrets at mastermanifestor.com. They'll give you a 21-day crash course in intuition, synchronicity, and manifestation. In just 7 minutes each day, the experts at mastermanifestor.com will train your brain to be like theirs. mastermanifestor.com. Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.